Well, good morning, everyone. Let's find our seats once again, if you don't mind. Good morning is right. Hey, Steve. My name's Glenn. I'm a pastor here at Grace Community Church, and today I get to spend a few minutes sharing some thoughts with you, but I do realize that there is no way that I can compete with what we just saw. So give it up for them again, right? You know, there was a time that I tried out for the Grace Kids pageant. 7 years ago, I tried out for that part, and they didn't give it to me. They said that it was something to do with the costume not fitting right, so. But they let me preach today and the Sunday before Christmas, and for that I'm thankful. There's something about this season, about the Christmas season, that gets your mind thinking and it conjures up all sorts of images, doesn't it? What kind of images do you come up with when you think of Christmas? We think of family, presents. We think of Rudolph, maybe, and Frosty the Snowman. We think of eggnog and great food. My friend Shireen makes this stuff called Christmas crack that is just heavenly. If you've ever had it, it's just wonderful. We think of reindeer and angels and Clark Griswold falling off the roof of a house, you know. We think of baby Jesus and the Star of Bethlehem and the shepherds like we just saw. And Christmas always reminds me of this right here. This is a photo of a fruitcake 42 years ago on Christmas Eve. A neighbor brought over a fruitcake to our home. And every year we wrap it up and someone gives it to someone else. This is 2 years ago. My son Chris received the gift and you can tell how happy he was. But just check out this, okay? 42 years, and the fruitcake still looks good. It's not moldy. It's not flaky. The only thing it's done is shrink. So I think, like, maybe 40 years from now, when my grandkids are doing it, it might be the size of a lifesaver or something, you know, as they're giving the gifts to each other. It's amazing. So what do you guys think of Christmas? You probably don't think of this right here. Dust. Dust, not exactly part of the Christmas story, right? You might think of Christmas, I mean, you might think of dust, you might think of like a dusty furniture top, a tabletop, or you might think of dust bunnies underneath your bed. You might think of a dust storm over in Arizona. Or maybe you think about this guy here, who's Pigpen, who's always covered in a cloud of dust. But when I say dust, can you picture this? Jesus, born in a manger. Today in this message, I'd like to share with you that dust is an important element of why Jesus came to be with us. Why he came to earth and became a human like us. Today, we're continuing our sermon series that we're calling Cosmic Christmas. And in this series, we're going through stories from the book of Genesis, the creation stories, and seeing how they all point to the coming of Jesus, this baby that we just showed and heard about. And we can show how the elements of the creation of the earth, the creation of man, and today, the fall of man or the sin of man, how they all point to Jesus. Today's Bible story comes from Genesis 3, 17 through 19. And you can read with me if you need a Bible. We have some out that back there, or you can follow on your apps on your phone, or I'm going to play it up here on the screen. So Genesis 3, 17 through 19. It says this, "And he said to the man," he meaning God, "because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, do not eat from it. The ground is cursed because of you. You will eat from it by means of painful labor all the days of your life." So look at what it says there. It says, listen, God says, you listened to your wife And your life is going to be really, really hard from here on out. And so here's the first lesson that we can learn from this. Husbands, don't listen to your wife. There you have it. Go home. You can go home now. No, you know, I'm only kidding. I would be in such trouble if I didn't listen to my wife. I'd probably be crazy or in jail or dead. Thank God for my wife. But God is saying to Adam that Adam was fully aware of what he was doing. It wasn't that his wife ate first, you know. He was fully aware. And the perfect world, this Eden that he was placed in, this easy life, it all changed because of his decision. God continues on and says, it, the earth, will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat of the plants of the field. You will eat bread by sweat of your brow until you return to the ground, since you were taken for it. And then our key text for today, for you are dust, and you will return to dust. Not exactly an encouraging word, a Christmas type of a theme, is it? It's not the type of a scripture that you see embroidered on pillow tops or on on the fronts of Christmas cards. You know, dust to dust. You don't see that, right? But God said this to Adam, and it still applies to us today. For you are dust, and you're going to return to dust. It's really tragic when you think about the creation story in Genesis. Adam had been formed from the earth, and it says that God breathed the breath of life into him. So there's two elements to God, Adam's creation, earth and the breath of life. God molded Adam out of the earth. In fact, the name Adam comes from the Hebrew Adama, which means dirt or dust of the earth. That's where his name comes from. And then he breathed life into Adam. And this word breathe in the Hebrew is the same word that is used for spirit. So God breathed his spirit into Adam to give him life. He gave him a fantastic place to live. He gave him a great partner who completed him. God provided everything that Adam needed and gave him dominion over all of the earth. And he had a perfect relationship with God. But then Adam screwed up. He because of his lust and his pride, he turned away from God. You might know the story. God said to Adam and Eve, hey, this is all yours. Have fun. Have at it. But there's one thing I'm going to tell you that you can't do. See that tree over there, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You can't eat that. And so what did they do? Satan came and lied to them and tempted them to eat. Eve ate first, but then Adam, who was the responsible one, ate afterwards. And because of his rebellion, sin entered into the world. And because of his sin, he lost everything. So we see here that Adam was created as a man. He left heaven. Actually, he was forced out of heaven. Heaven on earth was called paradise or Eden. God created it for him, but because of his sin, he was forced out of it. Adam lived in darkness. The sin that he had allowed this spiritual darkness to enter into the world. Before that, everything was good. And then Adam paid the price for his sin. Christ was a broken relationship with God, and he would have a hard life from here on after, as promised. And then Adam experienced death. Ever since that day, the price for sin is death. Dust you were, and dust you'll become. And that's a physical death, and there's a spiritual death, a separation from God that happens, both the result of sin. Adam turned away from his life source in God and turn to his own ways. And we do the same thing. We do. Left to ourselves, humans are headed to the compost pile. We, the descendants of Adam, can't really change our nature because that's who we are. Dust we are, and it's dust that we will return. But even in this moment of loss, the moment of darkness, the moment of sin, God was gracious and he was merciful. And he makes a pronouncement of judgment on them, but he also makes a promise. And that's the promise of the one who will come and who will save and restore sinful people to himself, who will bring light. He will bring eternal life. And this promised one is who? You just heard about it from the kids, guys. This promised one is who? This promised one is who?
Jesus.
There, that's better. Thank you. And this Jesus was called the second Adam or the last Adam in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 15 says this, "So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit." You see the comparison? Earth, spirit. "However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of the dust. The second man is from heaven. Like the man of the dust, so are those who are of the dust. Like the man of heaven, so are those who are of heaven. And just as we have been born the image of the man of dust, we also bear the image of the man of heaven." So we are naturally born dust, but we can be supernaturally transformed into the image of the one that comes from heaven. So this is saying this, that Jesus is both God and man. Adam was a man, but Jesus was both God and man. And Jesus left heaven. He wasn't forced out of paradise. He wasn't forced out of heaven. He came in his own will. He took on the form of a human being, and he lived in the darkness of this world. But Jesus was the light that shone in the darkness. The Apostle John wrote in his gospel, he said, "In him, in Jesus, was life, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, and yet darkness didn't overcome it." And then Adam experienced death, but Jesus, through his death, brings life. And he will breathe life back into those who have experienced this spiritual death because of sin. Sin. That's not a great topic for Christmas either, is it? We don't like to talk about sin. We get a little uncomfortable when we talk about sin. In fact, some of us feel condemned. You think I'm condemning you when we talk about sin. And perhaps you just don't want me to be saying it. So you're asking, why do you have to talk about sin? And what does sin have to do with Christmas? Sin has everything to do with Christmas. Sin is the reason Jesus came. You've always heard that Jesus is the reason for the season, and that's true, but the reason he came and dwelt among us, became a child, is because of our sin. Scripture says that Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world. To save the world from what? Sin. A definition of sin is violating God's law and not honoring him. In the original language of the Bible, it says that sin is missing the mark. And the mark in this case is the standard of perfection established by God and lived out through the life of Jesus Christ. And we all know that none of us is perfect, right? The scripture says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But I like the definition that I saw in a kid's video. They said, sin is doing things your own way instead of God's way. We all fall into that trap, don't we? We do things our own way instead of God's way. But here is the good news, guys. God loves us anyway. He loves us anyway. And the birth, the life, the death, and resurrection of Jesus is his answer to our sin problem. In the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul writes this to all of us sinners. He said, "For God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." God really does love us. And he provides us a way to go from darkness to light, from death to life, and from being a dirt bag of dust to being filled with His Spirit. He provides for us a way to not follow in the footsteps of the first Adam, but to follow in the footsteps of the last Adam, Jesus Christ. Paul continues to write this. He said, "For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace." It is wonderful. "In His gift of righteousness, for all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone." Here is the real Christmas story. Jesus was born a baby, lived a life that we could not live, a perfect life. And He died a death that we should have died, a sinner's death. Allie talked about that this morning. And He rose again to give us new life. And He reverses the effects of the first Adam's sin, bringing life and righteousness instead of condemnation and death. That's the Christmas story. That is good news. And it's cause for us to rejoice with singing and to praise Him for all His goodness. So would you just stand with us? And we're going to do that right here. We're going to praise Him for the good things that He has given us.